Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here Monday, November the 9th, 2020, 14 and a half minutes past the hour. Now, don't forget today we do have, there's going to be a special Voice of the People with Linda Sims this morning from 11:15 until 12 p.m. Adam the Computer Guy with Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam Lepp comes up today when this show's over, 10 a.m. until 11 a.m. And then we will have another Voice of the People today from 4:10 to 5 p.m. and the Mike Wilson Show returns 5:10 to 6. So when I go off the air today, you've got Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam from 10 to 11, a special Voice of a People 11 to 12, another Voice of a People from 4 to 5 today, and the Mike Wilson Show from 5 to 6. So that's the rundown today here on WWGH Radio. Also do want to remind you that the Clarendon United Methodist Church, State Route 95 in Clarendon, is having its 43rd Holiday Bazaar on Saturday, November the 14th from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. There will be all kinds of homemade gifts, baked goods, sweets, homemade noodles, crafts, and much more. All current COVID recommendations will be followed. That is the 43rd Holiday Bazaar at the Clarendon United Methodist Church, State Route 95, November 14th, 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. This coming Saturday, if you can believe that. Now, last hour, we were talking about Thanksgiving dinners that churches do here in town, and we got a message via the internet that Dayspring, which is one of the big outlets who has been doing this the last few years, will be doing it all carryout this year. Dayspring has now gone to all carryout. So, if you get your Thanksgiving dinner from Dayspring, it will be a carryout version this year. And we learned that the other church that has been doing this for many years is Emmanuel Lutheran here in Marion, and Emmanuel Lutheran will not be having it at all this year. Apparently it's on the sign over at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church that because of COVID there will be no Thanksgiving dinner this year. So there you go. Now, what's that going to do on Thanksgiving for people? We really have no idea. And also, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, but I do believe there was also something that was going on over at the Knights of Columbus. Now, I don't know if this has still been going on, but I know for a few years, the Knights of Columbus were taking, I think it was orders. I don't know if they had a sit-down Thanksgiving over there or not, but I know that people took takeout orders, and they would deliver them to a lot of the assisted living centers here in town. But with the pandemic going on, I really don't know if a lot of these assisted living centers will be allowing people to come in who are from the outside on these dates, Thanksgiving, Christmas, so on and so forth. I don't know how this is all going to work. I know that it's going to be a very interesting couple of months. That's all I know. I think a lot of the norms that we celebrate here in society, Christmas and Thanksgiving, maybe our two biggest norms, holiday-wise, are certainly not going to be norms, not going to be normal at all this coming year. And with only 17 days to go until Thanksgiving, we'll see how that all shakes out. Again, phone lines are open if you've got any thoughts on any of this, but the word is in now. Dayspring will be carry out, and Emmanuel Lutheran is canceled this year as far as Thanksgiving dinners go. So there you go. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, I also have been aware that the old rec center over here on Church Street has done something on Thanksgiving. We've really got no word on that at this point. I wouldn't think things look good, but we're not going to say anything yet because we don't have the official word on what's going on there. But they've been doing things over there for years on Thanksgiving. I don't know what that's going to be like, but it's very interesting that Emmanuel Lutheran has canceled theirs and Day Spring has went to carry out this year. And that's how it'll be because of the pandemic that we are in. Okay, again, phone lines will remain open. If there's anything you want to say or anything you want to talk about from hour number one or anything else in general, well, here comes a phone call. Let's see what this is. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, Todd, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad. It's been a while since I talked to you there.
Well, I was wondering what happened to you.
Oh, I've been busy, busy, busy.
Hope busy in a good way. Hopefully nothing bad.
No, it's been pretty much good. It's going to be a different Thanksgiving and Christmas altogether as far as that goes, because as you already know, the Macy's Day Parade, they're not having any of the marching bands or anything. I just wonder if they're even going to have balloons this year.
You know, I don't know. I remember in midsummer that they said they were going to go on with the parade, but I know a lot of restrictions are being placed on that, and with New York being a hot spot for this illness, I don't know. I would begin to. I think we'll start hearing announcements as we get closer to the day here.
Yeah, I like getting up and watching that stuff, and you know, not seeing the balloons would be pretty devastating.
Well, it's been a big part of it. I would think that they could. Obviously, the marching bands, I think, has more to do with travel and standing close to each other and not being able to wear a mask if you're playing a trumpet or a tuba or any wind instrument is probably why they're doing away with the marching bands. But the balloons, you know, the people who run those, they can stay 6 feet apart from each other. They can wear masks while carrying a balloon. So I would think the balloons will probably go on.
Yeah, sure hope so. Have you been to the new market uptown yet?
You know, I went by it on Friday when it was open. I did not get a chance to go in, but I heard a lot of reports back from people Friday who thought it was a really great place to go.
Well, it was well needed. There's no doubt about that. Ain't that just all the time and effort they put in on that building there? It just looks great.
Well, that's what I hear. I hear the building looks great, and we had the public relations person on from the Center Street Clinic who is overseeing this market, and TJ Bodicher on Friday, and he let us know the hours, which are Monday through Friday, 8 to 7, Saturday and Sunday, 11 to 7. But, you know, I just hope people know that right now, no EBT, no SNAP card, no food card, no WIC. At this particular point, they're not set up for that over there yet. Hopefully in the future, they hope to be. But at this point, that's just not an option if you shop there.
Don't get that figured out. I mean, that's probably not a real big issue. And anyway, it'll be up before too long there. Hey, you had a good time up there in Toledo, right?
Oh, Toledo. Toledo was great. I love Toledo because it is... And I don't know how Toledo does this, because it's much like, you know, cities in Ohio, but Toledo somehow maintains the money to do things like light up the bridges up there, and, you know, they have the Great Mommy Park up there in the Toledo area. It's just a completely different town than a lot of city, than a lot of different places like Cleveland and Columbus and Cincinnati, I think.
Yeah, that's true there, yeah. Well, I'm glad you got out. This is a good time to get out to explore right now.
Oh,
you got all the nice weather going on. Boy, I tell you, you can't ask for better, you know, conditions.
Oh, it was a great weekend this past. It's a great day today. I think today's the last nice day we're supposed to have like this. I think tomorrow it's supposed to drop back down temperature-wise. But the last 4 or 5 days have been tremendous. Did you do anything fun over the weekend in the nice temperatures?
Oh, yeah. I did a lot of auctions.
Oh, great. Well, you know, that's one of the things I'm going to talk about on this trip to Toledo is some shops I found up there that I did not know existed. You know, all the times I'd been to Toledo in the past, I had went for things like I'd been to Tony Paco's or I had went to a Mud Hens game, and I never really went down to where all the stores are. I never went down to their big strip, you know, where the Walmart and all the big restaurants are. And I did this past Saturday, and I found all kinds of very, very unique stores down there.
Well, that's good. I gotta get off the phone. I gotta go see the dog bed.
Well, hey, thank you for calling. Bye-bye. All right. And phone lines are open. Feel free to call in at any time, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944, talking about the trip this past weekend to Toledo. But again, do want to just make mention, because I think a lot of people are dependent on these things, that the Day Spring Thanksgiving dinner will be all carry out this year, and the Emmanuel Lutheran dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, according to their sign, is just not happening this year. So that's where we stand. And if anybody has any information on the event that normally goes on at the Rec Center on Thanksgiving, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. Or if you have any thoughts on how we're going to handle this Halloween or Thanksgiving, Halloween's still on the brain, how are you going to handle this Thanksgiving holiday in general? Coming up, this Christmas holiday in general coming up, how's it all going to go, in your opinion? How is this all going to shake out? You know, the holiday bazaars are starting. Those are going to go on. COVID recommendations will be followed, but I don't know about, well, we're starting to find out about the Thanksgiving dinners, but church services on Christmas Eve and trips to see Santa Claus and stores being packed on Black Friday, and all these things that normally go into this time of year, I don't know. I don't know how that's all going to be pushed out in the end. I would think there's probably a big argument going on right now, somewhere in this state, and in all states for that matter, between retailers who are saying, you've got to allow us to do this stuff, because we've got to get out of the red. Not only is Black Friday our normal day to get out of the red, but this is a particularly bad year. We really need to get out of the red. But I'm sure people on the other side are worried about getting people sick. So I don't know what the happy medium is going to be there. And I also said earlier on about visiting Santa, you know, people's first visit to Santa is always about getting that picture. And first of all, I don't know if you could have that many kids sitting on Santa's lap in a pandemic. I don't know, you know, I don't know. I don't think you could do it day after day after day. And also, let's say that you did have to wear a mask, which I'm sure would be the protocol, because Santa Claus is always inside because of the temperatures outside. Well, is your first picture with Santa Claus as a child going to be with him with a mask on and you with a mask on? I don't know. I would think that's going to be a big problem this year. The mystery of Santa Claus this year will be completely different. The mystique of Santa Claus and church services. How do you fit all those people in a church? Going to be a different Christmas for sure. But maybe it will spark something else. You know, one thing this pandemic has done has sparked other avenues of how to deal with things. That I have found very interesting. For example, you know, who talked about Zoom and Zoom meetings and working at home and all this before the pandemic. That was never talked about, but now it's commonplace. And look at what schools have done and the adjustments that they have made. And there's just been a lot of stuff that has changed because of the pandemic. And some of it has been for the good. You know, I think if this had happened back, say, in the 1980s, well, we wouldn't have had internet. We wouldn't have had Zoom. You couldn't see grandpa and grandma and mom and dad if you weren't going to get together with them. So I guess, in a lot of ways, we're soldiering through this, and things are being done to take the place of the way things have always been done. We're a very traditional society in a lot of ways, and I think that's one of the big issues we're having right now. But again, if anybody wants to call in, if anybody has any thoughts on any of this, feel free to give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Would love to hear from you, whatever is on your mind this morning. I've kind of got the holidays on the mind because, as I said yesterday, or as I said last hour, yesterday, I started to think how close Thanksgiving is and started to think how close Christmas is. And I think last week, with all that election stuff going on, we almost lost a week. It was like a week got away from us. 7 days disappeared. And now we're even closer than we were before, and now we're going to get all our mind and attention back on the numbers of this pandemic and Thanksgiving coming up and Christmas coming up, and I think that will be where we will be for the next stretch here, 30 minutes past the hour. Again, phone lines open, 740-383-9944. Okay, here's the trip to Toledo that I took over the weekend. And I will tell you, could not have asked for better weather. And I kept thinking, you know, this was November 7th when I took this trip, and I thought, November 7th, and it's well over 70 degrees. It was just a beautiful, beautiful Saturday to head up to Toledo. Now, one of the first things I did when I got to Toledo was went over, and I'd never been to this place, hard to believe, was the Maumee River, the Maumee Bay, the state park over there. When I got, I thought I had been there in the past, but apparently I had not. And when you pull in to that area, because it's a state park, it is just one of the most well-kept, beautiful areas you'd ever want to be in. And the lodge there is just tremendous. The lodge has a great gift shop, and there was a wedding going on there on Saturday when I was there, and there was just a lot of activity in the lodge, and they are kept up so well. And again, this makes you think of what a great job the state does with these state parks, and how we have these areas that you can go to and have weddings and go to gift shops and watch televisions and sit in the lobby and have a room to stay in overnight and just the whole thing. It just was a very, very cool experience just to go into the lodge. And then once you get past the lodge and you go outside, the beach there by the Maumee Bay up in Toledo is just a beautiful place. And you know, because it was November and has been colder, but we were having a particularly warm day that day, the beach, and you could just see the people who were out on the beach was just picture perfect, beautiful sight. The skyline was great. Just a nice place to go. And everybody is so, I think, taken with the abnormally warm temperatures that everybody was just taking it easy on Saturday. And there's so much area there by the Maumee Bay, the Maumee River. And you just look out there and you see there is no ending. Now, obviously, eventually it ends somewhere, but it just looks as if there's no ending, and it almost looks, you know, otherworldly out there. And these places, I think more people should visit. Obviously, I have not done a good job of visiting these places over the years, because after going there this past Saturday, I don't think I'd ever been there, but I'm sure glad I have gone now, because it was well worth the time and well worth the effort. Now, after... Oh, and you know what else is great about the Maumee area is that there are so many places to go. I mean, you can go over near the bay. You can go down to the beach where there's sand and rock and seashells and the normal things you see at a beach. There's a play area up there for the kids up on top of the hill that oversees the river. It just is a very unique area. So big. There are trails you can go on. I didn't have the time to go on a trail, and that's a tough thing this time of year unless you get there very early in the morning, because of the time change. You know, it gets dark at 6 o'clock now, so you have to get there fairly early if you want to do something like that. And on Saturday, I don't think I got over to the Maumee area until it was probably 4, maybe close to 4. So did not get a chance to go on any of the trails. But all that stuff is there. And we should really take advantage of these areas in Ohio, because the state is doing a great job with all of those areas. And it doesn't cost anything unless you pay to do something. And certainly walking on the beach or just getting into the park, there's no cost involved there. So I definitely would recommend that if you are in the Toledo area. It's just about 8 minutes outside of the main area of Toledo, the town. Now, what I want to talk to you about, well, here, let me get these two other things out of the way, then I'm going to talk to you about the thing that I really enjoyed. My last stop as I was leaving Toledo, of course, was Tony Paco's. And I went there, of course, and I'm sure everybody knows what Tony Paco's is at this particular point, but most famous hot dog restaurant in the world is what everybody will say. You can buy their products at stores now. But the original Tony Paco's is on Front Street there in Toledo, where all the buns are on the wall of celebrities and politicians and sports figures who have signed buns over the years. Do you know how the bun thing got started? You know, I did not really know until this past Saturday. There's a little sign, it's not a big sign at all, a very tiny sign that tells you how the whole bun signing thing got started. And it's kind of an interesting story. And I'm going to ask you if you know what it is. If you know what it is, tell me, because I know what it is at this point. But if you don't, you don't know how the whole bun signing thing got started, let me know before the show's up today, and I'll tell you the answer. But if you know why people sign buns at Tony Paco's, give me a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Remind me before the end of this program to tell you why they do sign the buns, if nobody can tell me the answer. But I'm sure somebody knows. Everybody's been to Tony Paco's. But I did not know this until this past Saturday, until I read it. And I was funny because the sign is so little. I would not have seen the sign except I was waiting on somebody to come out of the restroom. And while I was waiting on somebody to come out of the restroom, I was looking at the buns on the walls, and there was this little sign that told about why people sign buns when they come to Tony Paco's, which has been going on since the 1970s. So, if you know how that all started, give me a call, 740-383-9944. Now, went to Tony Paco's Saturday night, probably between 6 and 7 is when we arrived there. Now, what's interesting is it wasn't terribly busy, which... Now, this could be the result of many things. This could be the result of football. This could have been the result of the election being called Saturday. Or it could just be a result of COVID. I don't really know. But I do know that for a Saturday night in Toledo, it did not seem hugely busy at all, which is unfortunate. But as I say, there were a lot of things going on that day. The election was called. The college football games were going on, so that could have played into it. But regardless, the people there are so nice. I'll tell you how nice the people are. When you go to Tony Paco's, you take a lot of pictures, because you're taking pictures of the buns on the wall, you're taking pictures of the restaurant, because it's a real throwback restaurant, you know, old neon signs in there, and Jamie Farr from MASH has donated so many items that are on the wall, and there are cardboard cutouts of things, just a place to take a lot of pictures. And of course, people take a lot of pictures of eating the hot dog, because it's the most famous hot dog, Hungarian hot dog, in the world. So the person I'm with and I are taking pictures, as you would do, and this gentleman, who probably was a manager, he was dressed more like a manager than a server, walked by. And he said, hey, do you want me to get a picture of the two of you? Because he could clearly see that it was just the two of us at the table. And he did. He stood back and took a great picture. That was how nice the people were at Tony Paco's. You know, we didn't even ask him. He just offered and was glad to do it. And that's the mark of good service. And it always makes me think back to when George Kasotis has talked on the air so many times about what makes a restaurant succeed. And people like George Turoff had this, and other people in town who have owned restaurants over the years. When the person who owns the restaurant will get out with the people and make them feel at home, that does make a world of difference. And they certainly have that at Tony Paco's, and could definitely explain a lot of their success, besides that they have good food. Now, here's a funny thing from Tony Paco's. The person I was with said they had been there one time before, but it had been years and years and years, and probably they had not ordered a hot dog the last time they were there. And I said, well, you got to order a hot dog. You've never had a Tony Paco's hot dog. You've got to have one. This is the big thing here. And basically what I got was hot dogs and fries, and I convinced this person to get hot dogs and fries as well. Now, after the hot dog was ordered, the person leaned over to me and said, you know, I really don't like spicy things. And I'm thinking, are the hot dogs here spicy? I don't remember them being spicy, because I'm not a big fan of spicy things either, but who knows? And so then I got a little worried. I thought, well, I hope they can eat the food, because we've been out all day here in Toledo, and I want them to be able to eat. So I'm waiting and thinking about this as the food is coming. And then the food comes, and the person is eating the hot dog. Now, the good news is, from what I was told by this person, now they could have been telling me fibs, but They like the hot dog. The only problem they had with the hot dog was the casing that the hot dog was in. And I never noticed this, but obviously I had a hot dog too that night. When you eat the Hungarian hot dog at Tony Paco's, it is interesting, because every time you bite into it, it makes a crunch. Not a crunch like a cereal crunch, but that casing is just on that hot dog in a way where it does make a little bit of a noise. And that's every bite you take of the hot dog. But it's not like a sausage. So I really don't know what the difference is between a Hungarian hot dog, a regular hot dog, and a sausage, besides the casing. But that seemed to be the only problem that anybody was having with the Tony Paco's hot dogs on Saturday night. But a great stop there, a lot of fun, and the great thing about where Tony Paco's is located in Toledo on Front Street is that you really can see the bridges in downtown Toledo. And the bridges, When you're there during the day, and this is something that happened to me last time. When I went to Tony Paco's, when we had the big bun signing with Mary Ellen Withrow back in February of 2019, I was there during the day. We got there at like 10 o'clock in the morning, and we had left by 2 or 3 in the afternoon, so it was never dark while we were there. Well, it was dark Saturday night because we did not leave Tony Paco's till probably 7, 8 o'clock. So I go outside in these bridges in Toledo, and I don't know the names of the bridges, but there are two gigantic bridges in Toledo that are just lit up at night beautifully. One of the bridges, all the support is lit up colorfully, and then where the main support is on the bridge, it's like a digital color scheme. So that bridge is just great. And the other bridge has points of colored light all around it. So you can see the bridge at night, and it looks great. And boy, I give it to the city of Toledo for keeping something up like that. It just, it looks tremendous at night. The city of Toledo at night looks tremendous. So if you get a chance to get over to Tony Paco's or to the city of Toledo for whatever reason, make sure you stay until after dark, which is not hard to do now since it gets dark at 6 o'clock, just to see those bridges lit up at night. And how Toledo looks downtown at night, the buildings, you know, everything's just lit up in a very unique way. So I found that very cool. And then the gift shop at Tony Paco's is still operational. And there's a lot of great items in the Tony Paco's gift shop that are not overly expensive, which is nice. Because I think a lot of gift shops are a little overpriced, but this one, not bad at all. So the whole experience at Tony Paco's was great, and in Toledo in general was great. Now, what I was talking about earlier in regard to going to the kind of business area of Toledo, where all the restaurants are and all the fast food places are and all the shops are, I had never really been there. So went down to that area and pulled into this area. There was a thrift shop we could see from the road. So we pulled into that particular area to go to the thrift shop. And as we pulled in, there was this little tiny place that I don't even remember the name of it, but it was records, something to do with records. And I said, well, I wonder what that little place is over there, so let's go over into that little place. So we go into this little record shop. Now, it turned out to be much more than a record shop. I mean, they had records galore, tables and tables and tables of old vinyl records. Just about everything you could imagine, from every type of music to comedy records to holiday records, anything you could want. But they also sold video games. They also sold VHS tapes. They also sold DVDs. They also sold CDs. They also sold musical equipment like guitars and amplifiers and soundboards and things of that nature. So it was a really unique shop. Now, here's the deal. So I'm looking through the records because I like records. I don't know if I've ever said this, but I have two record players at home. Well, matter of fact, I think I have three. Well, I know I have two that do work. So I have two record players at home. So over the years, if I go into like a Goodwill or a Salvation Army or a thrift store or something like that, I always look through the records. Now, my particular interest in records is usually I like the comedy records or offbeat stuff when it comes to records. I'm not so much into the music records unless it's somebody maybe I knew well or something like that. Well, I'm going through the records, and records that I like holiday records, Christmas in particular, because I think some of the best artwork, that's the great thing about records, are the big covers that came with the record itself. You know, these covers made for a lot of interesting artwork, a lot of interesting pictures that you don't get on CDs and VHS and DVDs that you do now. So I'm going through the records, And I'm in the holiday section. And I get to the holiday section, and I see the Chipmunks Christmas album, which was probably done in the 50s or 60s. You know, the Chipmunks Christmas song, and them singing a bunch of other songs. And it's the original Chipmunks Christmas album. Now, here's the unique thing about this record store. The prices were individually on all of the records, because obviously some records probably cost more than others. And the prices were more than you would typically pay at, say, a Goodwill or a Salvation Army or a thrift shop for the records. I mean, there were some records that were $15, $16, $17, $25. I mean, there were some expensive records here. Now, some were cheap. You know, some were $3.99, $4.99. And there was even a bargain area where some were 99 cents. So it varied all the way across the board. But again, each individual record is marked. So I see this Chipmunks Christmas album, and I think, boy, this is one I'd like to pick up, because this is a classic, and it's got a classic cover on it, if anybody's seen it, and you know, very popular. And here was the first thing I noticed where I thought there might be a problem, was there were no other copies of this in the section. Now, if you would look through the sections of records, one thing that's interesting, if the record was very popular in its day, you usually get it cheaper because so many people have brought that record in. But if it's something that's rare that people did not buy a whole lot of copies of, and they don't have a whole lot of copies of, that record is usually a little more expensive. So I'm looking through, and I don't see any other copies of this Chipmunks Christmas record, and it is the only record that I can see in the area that I'm looking in that does not have a price on it. And a matter of fact, it looks like it had a price on it at one point, and then somebody blacked it out. Like there was a black sticker put over where the price would be in the upper right-hand corner. And I thought, oh, great. Now I'm going to have to go up to the counter when I check out here, because I do want to buy this, and find out how much this record costs. And as much as I like the Chipmunks, as much as I like Christmas, as much as I would like to have this album, which I have never seen anywhere else, cover, record, intact, you know, I don't want to pay $15. I don't want to pay $20 for this thing. You know, it is used, and it is, you know, 60 years old at this point. So I'm kind of dreading going up to the counter as I'm looking through the rest of the store. So I finally get up to the counter at the store, and I hand the lady the record, and I say, you know, this really doesn't have a price on it. And without skipping a beat, she said, 99 cents. 99 cents. $1. So that was a done deal. Sold is what went through my brain at that point. So I now own the Chipmunks Christmas album, the original vinyl version of the Chipmunks Christmas album, which might only be worth $1. But it gave me a lot of joy to now have that, because at holiday time at my house, when I have the big holiday gathering on Christmas Eve, or even during the holiday season, you know, putting up the Christmas tree or whatever, a lot of times I will put on these holiday albums, and this year I know which one will be on, and it will be the Chipmunks, which I purchased for $1 in the great city of Toledo. So I thank that shop and Toledo in general for that particular experience. All right. Does anybody know why Tony Paco's, why people sign buns at Tony Paco's? We've got no response on this. Apparently, nobody knows. Does anybody know? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, I'm also curious. Do people out there in our listening audience, have you kept your records over the years? I know a lot of you probably bought them. Have you noticed that records are coming back in a big way? I know they're selling record players again in stores for the first time in years. I don't know what's causing that to come back. It's kind of fascinating. In any event, I'm going to tell you the hot dog signing story. Apparently, what happened was Burt Reynolds, of all people, and I forget the exact year, but it was sometime in the late 70s. Like 76 or 78 is ringing a bell to me at this point. But apparently, Burt Reynolds was in town doing something. I don't know if it was a play. I don't know if he was doing a movie. But in the late 70s, Burt Reynolds was in Toledo. And he goes into Tony Paco's, and I guess the people at Tony Paco's wanted his autograph to put on the wall. And I don't really know how this story evolves, if it was because Burt was there eating and he didn't have autographed pictures with him or what. But for some reason, they couldn't figure out what he would sign. He was more than willing to autograph something, but he didn't have anything to autograph. And I guess, rather than autograph a napkin or a receipt or whatever else there might have been at Tony Paco's in the 1970s, he said, "I'll autograph a bun." So Burt Reynolds autographed a bun. And that is how the tradition got started. And I don't know how many buns are in Tony Paco's at this particular point, but they cover all the walls. And I don't even think they can display all the buns anymore. Now, when I was up there with Mary Ellen in 2019, I do remember them telling me, and I wouldn't guess this is... Well, let's just start here. I imagine Burt Reynolds, because that was a spontaneous moment, probably autographed a real bun. But the buns that people autograph now, I don't think... I remember the manager telling me that they're not real buns. They look like buns, and they feel like buns, but there's something in them so they'll preserve. I'm not sure what it is. And because obviously you would have to worry about mold and deterioration and things like that. But the buns that people are autographing now, there's something in them. I mean, they would not be edible. They're not edible buns. And that's why they're able to put them in the wall and preserve them, and they can be there forever. But the one Burt Reynolds autographed back in the 70s, I imagine, was probably a real bun. So I don't know, to be honest with you, if that bun is still there or not. The original Burt Reynolds bun. I did not see it. But I'll tell you, here's my only drawback to Tony Paco's at this point, because they've got the buns everywhere. The buns are behind people at some points. There are tables in front of the walls that have the buns on them. So if you just wanted to go around looking at all the signed hot dog buns, there are some areas you're not going to be able to get into because people are sitting there. A matter of fact, there's a little kind of a private area. I mean, it's not... I assume you could sit there if you wanted to, but you go up a set of steps, and it's just a little more private of an area. But there were hot dog buns covering that area. Now, there are people sitting up there eating and drinking. So it's hard to look at those buns because people are sitting in that area. A matter of fact, when I went up in that area to look at some of the buns up there on Saturday, there was a couple having a couple martinis. So I certainly did not want to disturb them, although they probably would not have been upset if I would have disturbed them because they seemed like they were having a pretty good Saturday night. Those martinis, I still go back to the martini I had in New York years ago. Holy mackerel. And I just had the martini because it is the drink of the Rainbow Room in Rockefeller Center. But boy, a martini is a strong drink. And I believe I had a vodka martini. I think there are two. I think you can have a gin martini or a vodka martini. And I'm not a fan of olives, so I don't even eat the olive that's in the martini. But this couple was having a couple martinis and enjoying themselves at Tony Paco's on a Saturday night. But that's how it all started. Burt Reynolds autographing a hot dog in the 1970s. And ever since then, it has become a tradition. Again, do want to remind everybody, coming up today, we have Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam Lepp. When this show goes off the air today, 10:10 until 11 a.m., We have a special edition of Voice of the People with Linda Sims from 11:10 until 11:10 a.m. till 12 p.m. today. We have Voice of the People with Linda Sims at its regular time today, 4:10 to 5 p.m. And then the Mike Wilson Show returns this week after a week hiatus from 5:10 until 6 p.m. So that is the programming day here on WWGH Radio. Also, do want to remind everybody, in the middle of this pandemic, tomorrow we have our every other week visit with Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler at 8:10 a.m. tomorrow morning. So Tracy Kinsler will be along with us at 8:10 tomorrow morning, and I think there's going to be a lot of information come out of that, because a lot has happened in the last 2 weeks. We've had Halloween, we've had Election Day, we've watched the numbers go up, we've had a governor's press conference since then. Where are we headed? I know there's been a lot of meetings going on what to do with this pandemic, and we should have the answers tomorrow from Tracy Kinsler. And if you are just tuning in this morning, I do want to remind you what we've learned about Thanksgiving, which is right around the corner here, 17 days. Dayspring, which normally has Thanksgiving dinner for people, will be carry out this year. They will be having their dinner, but it will be all carry out. And Emmanuel Lutheran, which normally has done Thanksgiving dinner for so many years, has canceled their dinner this year for Thanksgiving because of COVID, and this is on their sign in front of the church. So that's how Thanksgiving will go, and we'll see what Christmas holds after that. Hope you've enjoyed the program this morning. I certainly have, and I will catch up with you tomorrow morning. For this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For people like legendary comedian Shecky Green, talking about meeting legendary talk show host Ed Sullivan for the first time.
Do you remember the first time you met him?
The worst time?
The first time? Both. We'll take both at this point.
First time, what's the first time? Does it rhyme? Either time. First time I met him, when he came back to Vegas, Shecky, I want you to come on my show, and you are going to be one of the biggest things that I've ever had on my show. I did the first show, he says, you stunk. You'll never be on my show again. Did you remember what you said? But I don't-